So imagine you ask an artificial intelligence to build a massive, complex software platform totally from scratch.
Right, like the ultimate sci-fi dream.
Exactly. You give it a prompt, you step away for 3 days, and then you come back to this flawless, production-ready product.
Which is what we all kind of want it to be.
Right, because we've been conditioned to view these models as like these magical super brains. You just type in a request and instantly get a beautifully formed essay or a complex data
Yeah,
analysis.
but building long-running software is a completely different beast.
It really is. And Anthropic just put this whole theory to the test. And the reality of it looks far less like a super brain and much more like, well, a brilliant shift worker who suffers from severe amnesia.
That is exactly what it's like, yeah.
So welcome to this deep dive. Our mission today is to dig into this really fascinating piece of research from Anthropic's engineering team. This was published in late 2025, about building what they call effective harnesses for long-running AI agents.
Right, because without those harnesses, the AI just kind of falls apart.
Exactly. We want to uncover how engineers keep an AI from getting hopelessly lost in its own work over the course of hours or, even days.
Yeah, and to really grasp that, you have to understand the central hurdle they were trying to overcome, which is the concept of the context window.
Okay, right, the context window.
Yeah, think of the context window as the AI's short-term working memory. It is the absolute limit of text, instructions, and code that the model can hold in its head at any one given moment.
So it's basically how much it can juggle before it drops something.
Exactly. And once that window fills up with data, the session just has to end. You literally have to start a fresh session to keep working.
Right.
But the catch is that every single time you start a new session, it begins with a completely blank slate.
So it's literally like hiring a genius engineer to work on this mission-critical project, right? But every time they clock in for a new shift, they have total amnesia. They walk through the door with absolute zero memory of what they built yesterday or like what the previous engineer broke an hour ago. They just show up blank, staring at a screen, waiting for someone to tell them what the project even is.
I mean, it is an absolute nightmare scenario for project management.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Right. And
Yep.
Anthropic found that even when they use a frontier model, like Opus 4.5, and paired it with their Claude Agent SDK.
And real quick, the SDK is essentially like a software development kit, right? A toolbox that allows the AI to interact with the computer's terminal, read files, write code, that sort of thing.
Exactly. It's giving it the hands to type. But even with all that, the AI completely failed to build a production quality app from just a high-level prompt.
Wow.
Yeah, if you told it to clone a complex website, it would inevitably crash and burn in like one of two very specific ways.
Okay, so let's look at those failure modes. Because the first one they identified is what I'd probably call the overly ambitious mess maker.
Oh yeah, that's a perfect name for it.
Right, because the AI tries to like one-shot the entire application. It just starts coding furiously, trying to build the database, the user interface, the back-end logic all at the exact same time.
Right, and because it is trying to juggle so many disparate elements at once, it rapidly exhausts its context window.
It just hits a wall.
It hits that hard memory limit right in the middle of writing a crucial piece of logic,
Yeah.
and then the shift violently ends.
And then the next guy clocks in.
Right. When the next session spins up, when the next amnesiac shift worker arrives, they find this massive, half-finished, totally undocumented code base.
So the new worker basically has to waste hours just reading broken code, trying to guess what the previous worker was even attempting to build.
Exactly. Which almost always leads to the new agent breaking whatever fragile functionality was already there.
Right. So that's the first failure mode. It just tries to do too much. But the second one usually happens like a bit further into the project,
Oh.
right?
Yeah. So an agent wakes up in a new session, looks around the directory, runs a few basic unit tests, sees that some underlying logic is functioning, and prematurely declares victory.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it hallucinates completion and just stops working.
Wait, why would it just quit if the app clearly isn't finished? I mean, is it just being lazy?
Well, it fundamentally comes down to how large language models function beneath the hood. You know, they are next token predictors.
Right, they're guessing the next word.
Exactly. They are constantly calculating the most statistically probable next word or action. So if an agent runs a test and sees a string of green success messages in the terminal,
Oh, I see.
the mathematical probability of the next appropriate action being task complete just skyrockets.
Interesting.
Without a rigorous forced self-verification loop to physically check the actual user interface, The model just follows the path of least resistance. It sees a positive signal and assumes the marathon is over.
Okay, so it either tries to sprint the entire marathon in the first 10 minutes and passes out, or it runs a mile, sees a mile marker, and thinks it crossed the finish line.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But okay, if the AI is this prone to losing the plot, my immediate thought is that you just need a better AI.
Right, a bigger model.
Yeah. Like, if the model keeps making a mess, wouldn't they just tag in a different, vastly smarter model to act as a supervisor and, you know, clean it up?
Well, that is the most common assumption in AI development right now, right?
Right. I mean,
just throwing a bigger parameter model at the problem. But Anthropic's researchers took a completely different approach.
Oh.
If you look at the footnotes of their methodology, they explicitly state they are not using different models.
Wait, so it's the same AI?
They are using the exact same underlying model with the exact same system prompt and the same toolbox. It is not a new brain coming in to supervise.
Huh. So how are they getting different results if it's the exact same model?
It is entirely a behavioral shift driven by the initial user prompt.
Ah.
They realized the problem wasn't a lack of raw intelligence. It was a lack of structure. So they divided the labor by forcing the model to adopt two highly distinct personas based on how they instructed to start its day.
Okay, so they give it roles.
Right. They created an initializer agent and a coding agent.
And the initializer agent is fascinating because it only runs exactly once.
Just once.
Right. At the very genesis of the project, it boots up. But its job isn't to build the app at all. Its sole purpose is to build the environment that the app will eventually live in. It does all the foundational scaffolding.
Yeah. And once that scaffolding is perfectly in place, the initializer is retired. Done.
Yeah.
For every single section after that, you summon the coding agent.
Okay.
And the coding agent is given a strict mandate.
Right.
Make incremental progress on one specific task and critically leave the environment in a clean state before the context window fills up and your shift ends.
Right. And by clean state, we are talking about standard software engineering practices here. The code has to be orderly. There shouldn't be any glaring syntax errors blocking the server, and it needs to be ready to be cleanly merged into the main project file. You don't, like, leave a pile of disassembled car parts on the factory floor for the next guy to trip over.
Right, you have to clean up your workspace so the environment is set up and the rules of engagement are clear. But to prevent that amnesia from taking over, the initializer has to leave behind incredibly detailed documentation.
Right, for the next guy.
Yeah. It generates a few vital artifacts. It writes a script to automatically start the development server. It generates a running text log of what previous agents have accomplished. It establishes an initial version control commit, so there's a permanent history of every single file change.
Okay, but the most critical artifact it leaves behind, and this is the part I love, is the to-do list.
Oh, yeah. The to-do list is everything.
And this list is massive. In the research, they tasked the AI with building a fully functioning clone of the Claude.ai interface. And the initializer wrote out a list of over 200 distinct granular features. Yeah. Things like user can open a new chat window, user can type a query, user can press enter to submit. But the part of this that really caught my attention wasn't the length of the list, it was the format.
Right.
They explicitly forced the AI to write this entire list in JSON instead of like a standard markdown document.
Yes, that's such a key detail.
So why does the formatting of the text matter so much to an artificial intelligence?
Well, it exposes a really fascinating technical quirk in how models process different types of text. Markdown is essentially formatted natural language, right? It's fluid and it's conversational.
Right, like writing a normal document.
Exactly. But JSON JavaScript object notation is highly rigid. It relies on strict brackets, syntax rules, and precise key-value pairs. Anthropic discovered that because Markdown feels like natural language, the model feels comfortable improvising with it.
Oh, I see.
It might casually summarize a few bullet points or accidentally delete a crucial instruction while rewriting a paragraph.
Okay, so Markdown is like a sticky note on a whiteboard that you can easily erase or scribble over. But JSON is like a formal accounting ledger.
That's a great way to put it.
Mm.
Because JSON is so structurally rigid, the model treats it as absolute data. It locks the model into a data entry mindset.
Wow.
It is significantly less prone to inappropriately modifying or overwriting the structure. So the initializer agent builds this massive JSON ledger of over 200 granular features, and crucially, it hard codes every single one of them with a status of failing.
So it basically sets up a gigantic dashboard of 200 flashing red lights.
Yes.
And that completely solves the amnesia problem. Because when the next coding agent wakes up completely blank, it doesn't have to guess what the project is or where it stands. It has a dashboard of red lights to fix.
Exactly. And to enforce this, the researchers gave the coding agent a non-negotiable morning routine.
A morning routine. I love that.
Step one, the moment it wakes up, it must run a command called pwdprint working directory.
Okay, so it literally has to look down at its own feet to figure out what folder it is standing in.
Yes. It grounds the agent in its digital environment because it is strictly forbidden from editing files outside of that specific directory.
Right.
Step two, it reads the version control logs and the text file to catch up on the immediate past. And step three, it reads that massive JSON ledger and chooses the single highest priority feature that still says failing. It is only allowed to work on that one feature.
So that forced incrementalism completely stops that one-shot overreach failure mode we talked about earlier.
Sorry.
It's not allowed to build the whole database. It just has to make the submit button work.
Right.
And it is given strict instructions that it is unacceptable to remove or edit tests just to make them pass. The only way it is allowed to change a feature's JSON status from failing to passing is when the code is legitimately complete.
And this brings us to a major hurdle they had to clear.
Right.
The coding agent works on a feature, writes the code, and wants to flip that red light to green. But how does it actually know the code works?
Right, because earlier we talked about how the AI would run a basic unit test, see a green success message in the terminal, and prematurely declare victory, even if the website itself was totally broken.
Exactly.
I picture this like a chef who's baking a cake, right? The AI chef tastes the raw batter, decides the batter is delicious, and immediately plates it up and serves it.
Yes.
It passes the raw ingredient test, but it totally fails the final product test because it never actually baked the cake. The AI was checking the underlying logic, but it had no way of knowing if the final user interface actually worked for a human being.
That's spot on. Unit tests check the batter. End-to-end testing requires eating the cake.
Right.
But the AI couldn't eat the cake because it couldn't physically see the website it was building. It was just reading code. So Anthropic realized they had to give the AI eyes. They integrated browser automation tools, specifically utilizing Puppeteer.
Okay, and Puppeteer is essentially a tool that gives the AI a virtual pair of hands and eyes inside a web browser, right?
That's a great way to visualize it. Instead of just pinging a server to see if a database connects, Puppeteer allows the AI to programmatically open a Google Chrome window, physically click on the button it just coded, type text into the search bar, and interact with the application exactly like a human user would.
Wow.
And most importantly, it allows the AI to take screenshots of the browser window.
Okay, so it writes the code, spins up the server, and then literally takes a picture of the web page to see what it looks like.
Yeah. In the project, the agent was prompted to open the chat interface it just built, physically type a message using Puppeteer, and take a sequence of screenshots to verify if a response actually appeared on the screen.
That's brilliant.
And the performance improvement was drastic. The agent could suddenly identify glaring visual bugs like a button rendering completely off the screen that were completely invisible if it was only looking at the back-end code.
Right, because the code might technically work, but it's hidden behind an image or something.
Exactly. It broke the hallucination of premature victory because the screenshot provided undeniable proof that the job wasn't done.
Giving the amnesiac worker a pair of glasses and telling them to look at their own work before clocking out seems so obvious in hindsight.
It really does.
But even with these virtual eyes, the system still had blind spots, right? Like, the AI couldn't see everything a human could.
True. It hit the limitations of how operating systems render graphics versus how a browser renders code.
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, because the AI is relying on Puppeteer to take screenshots of the web document, it struggles to perceive anything that happens outside of that specific web layer. The researchers highlighted browser-native alert modals as a prime example.
Oh, right. Those are the little gray pop-up boxes built into your operating system that say things like, are you sure you want to leave this page? Or please enter your password.
Right. Since those modals are rendered by the operating system itself, they sit on a different graphical layer than the website's code.
Oh, I see where this is going.
The screenshot tool captures the web page behind the pop-up. The AI is literally blind to the modal. It doesn't know there is a pop-up blocking the screen demanding user interaction.
Oh, no.
So the agent would just sit there staring at a screenshot of a frozen web page, completely confused as to why its automated clicks weren't registering anymore.
That's hilarious, but also so frustrating.
Yeah, features relying on those specific OS-level pop-ups remain consistently buggy.
It is wild to think that a highly advanced frontier AI model, capable of writing complex full-stack software, can be completely derailed by a basic operating system pop-up.
It's little things.
It really is. But zooming out from that specific bug, this entire harness, you know, the initializer setting the environment, the incremental coding agent, the rigid JSON ledger, the visual verification through Puppeteer, it clearly works brilliantly for web development.
It does.
But is this the ceiling? I mean, does it even make sense to keep forcing one general purpose coding agent to do everything, the building, the logging, the visual testing, the bug fixing, all by itself in one shift?
No, and that is the exact frontier Anthropic is pushing toward in their future work analysis. They are suggesting that forcing a single general purpose agent to wear all of these hats is just inefficient.
Right.
The research points heavily toward a multi-agent architecture.
Okay, so moving from a single amnesiac shift worker to like an entire virtual company of specialists.
Exactly. Picture a virtual software firm. You don't just prompt one model to build an app. You have a dedicated coding agent whose singular persona is optimized for writing raw logic.
Okay.
Once its shift is over, it passes the baton to a completely separate testing agent, and the testing agent's entire system prompt is adversarial. Its only goal in life is to invent malicious edge cases to try and break the coding agent's work.
So they are actively sparring with each other. I love that.
Yes. And once the testing agent inevitably breaks something, a quality assurance agent reviews the failure logs, synthesizes the core issue, and writes a highly targeted prompt back to a new coding agent to fix the specific vulnerability. And finally, a code cleanup agent sweeps through to ensure all the syntax matches the company's style guide. By specializing the agents, you reduce the cognitive load on any single context window.
Which perfectly mirrors how actual human software companies are structured, right? You don't have the lead architect also doing the basic typo checks.
Exactly.
If this multi-agent architecture works for software, it feels like this exact same framework could map onto almost any knowledge work industry.
Oh, absolutely. Anthropic specifically noted that these lessons on harnessing long-running agents are universally applicable.
Okay, like what?
Consider the field of scientific research. Imagine setting up an AI harness for drug discovery. You would have a literature review agent that spends days reading millions of pages of medical journals, distilling them into a rigid JSON ledger of potential chemical compounds.
Ah, using JSON again so it doesn't accidentally summarize away a crucial molecular structure.
Exactly. Then it hands that ledger over to a simulation agent that runs virtual interactions for weeks, which then feeds the data to an analysis agent.
That's incredible.
Or apply it to high-level finance.
Yeah.
An AI harness managing a massive portfolio doesn't just need raw predictive power. It needs strict daily routines.
Right.
It needs an initializer to set the risk parameters,
yeah.
A monitoring agent to log market changes, and an execution agent that is forced to justify its trades against a rigid checklist before acting.
So the universal challenge isn't the domain, it's the amnesia.
Yes.
The scaffolding they've designed here, the strict setup, the forced incrementalism, the rigorous self-verification, is the definitive blueprint for how we will deploy AI to solve complex multi-day problems in any sector.
That's the real breakthrough.
So if you're looking at the trajectory of artificial intelligence, the massive takeaway from Anthropic's experiment is that the secret to unlocking complex, long-running tasks isn't just waiting for a magical model with a bigger context window or more raw compute power.
No, raw intelligence is entirely useless if it operates in chaos.
Right. The real secret is incredibly boring, good old-fashioned project management.
It really is.
It is about strict scaffolding. It is about locking instructions into uneditable JSON ledgers.
Mm-hmm.
It is about meticulous forced handovers between sessions so the worker actually knows what to do when they clock in. We are literally having to teach artificial intelligence how to be a reliable employee.
We are discovering that the intelligence itself is only half the equation.
Yeah.
We have to design the bureaucratic architecture that allows that intelligence to function over time.
Which leaves a pretty provocative final thought for you to ponder. We started this deep dive talking about the shift worker with amnesia.
Right.
We've seen that these highly advanced, seemingly magical AI agents require the exact same rigid management techniques as human workers to stay on track.
Right.
They need strict routines, unskippable checklists, and constant visual proof of their progress.
Yeah, they really do.
If that is true, then maybe the future bottleneck of artificial intelligence isn't a lack of computer chips or a lack of raw smarts. Maybe the real bottleneck will be our own human ability to design the perfect bureaucratic structures for them to work within.
That makes a lot of sense.
If the AI can only ever be as reliable as the management system we build for it, then maybe the most vital, highly paid tech job of the next decade won't be writing the code. Maybe it will be AI middle management.
Wow. It completely flips how we value human skills in an AI-driven economy.
Exactly. The amnesiac shift worker is brilliant and they are ready to work. The only question is whether we are good enough managers to point them in the right direction. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.